morning, we don't have a title on the screen or anything like that. Last week I finished up the series Power Gifts, and we talked about our power tools. So we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how that they can flow in a church, and we've been seeing that more and more and more. And I believe we will continue to see that. And so we want to encourage you to, if you can come to Fresh Oil, come to Fresh Oil. I believe it'll bless you if you can get yourself here just a little bit early. It'll bless you. You know, you don't, sometimes we got this old religious mindset that says you have to pray 4 hours in order for something to happen or in order for God to do anything. And, you know, you don't have to pray for that long. I mean, if the Lord leads you to, by all means, do it. You know, to get something done in the space of prayer, I believe that you just follow after God and he shows up and things happen. So I thank God. I mean, some of you are giving me testimonies of how God has done things, showed you things, spoken to you, given you even supernatural vision of things or dreams, Sister Averill, or different ones. And so I want to encourage you, let's just continue to seek after the things of God and the Holy Ghost, because we're a word church, but we are a Holy Ghost church. So we can follow after those things, amen, as long as they line up with the Word of God. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about moves of God. So I want to talk to you a little bit about moves of God. You know, in the recent months, with the Jesus Revolution movie that has come out, and the Asbury Revival, a lot of discussion about Asbury Revival, some of the outbreaks of revival on college campuses and things like that, I just felt in my heart that I wanted to talk to you about moves of God, or revivals, if you want to term it revivals. It's a little easier for the passage that I'm going to take you to. You can just call it Step Into the River. Step Into the River, because that's what I believe God is doing in these last days. So let's go before the Father in prayer. We're going to be turning to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47, and let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father God, that as I submit myself to you, Lord, that you would use me as a vessel, God, that you would speak through me, teach me as I teach. God, encourage me as I encourage your people, Lord. God, that you would use my tongue as a pen, Father, to write on the hearts of this awesome congregation. And Father, we thank you for meeting with us, ministering to your people, both here in person and online. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel's an interesting book. I don't often refer to it, but it's a great book. It's a prophetic book in the Old Testament. And just by way of reference, Ezekiel is, he is a contemporary. He's a contemporary of Daniel. He is actually in the same time frame as Daniel. And so a lot of times when people talk about end times, they often will refer to Daniel and Ezekiel as reference points, because Ezekiel actually is referenced in the book of Revelation several times, so is Daniel. And so there is that Old Testament connection to the New Testament. So the name Ezekiel actually means God strengthens. God strengthens. Now, the book is filled with these obscure visions that Ezekiel had. He was called to be a prophet. And during that time frame, Israel had wandered away from the faith. There was just a lot of darkness, if you will, a lot of people turning their back on the ways of God. It was a dark time. But Ezekiel was there to strengthen God's people who were still hanging on, and he was there to bring encouragement, to bring that hope, hence his name, meaning God strengthens. And toward the end of the book, we see that Ezekiel kind of brings this light of hope, pointing to the Messiah. He's pointing to Jesus. And in fact, if you read through Old Testament prophecies, Isaiah, there are many scriptures in Isaiah that are pointing to Jesus. Now, it's interesting when you study a little bit of prophecy in general, sometimes this word is used, and it's a fancy word that theologians use, and the fancy word is double entendre. Double entendre. And what that means is double meaning. In other words, there's a meaning for something happening immediately, and then there's something that's going to happen in the future. And so it's interesting because Ezekiel is prophesying to Israel, but he is also prophesying about the kingdom of God that was going to come when the Messiah came. So he was speaking of something that was going to happen a little more immediately, and he was also speaking of something that was going to happen far out into the future. And so in Ezekiel 47, he starts to, if you will, it's a positive. He's starting to bring hope to the people of Israel. And this is speaking of, in Ezekiel 47, he's talking about an angel who had ministered to him in chapter 46. And then he goes on in verse 1 of chapter 47. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south of the altar. Now, really quickly, as you see what's happening here, the vision that he's describing is a man. Some say it was an angel. Some say it was Jesus himself. Scholars are not unified in exactly. I believe that personally that it was not just an angel, it was Jesus. And that Jesus was showing him things to come. And so this individual says, and he brought me back to the door of the temple. There was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. And for the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south of the altar. I think this is significant for a couple of reasons. Jesus currently sits at the right hand of the Father, does he not? Water has always been used in Scripture, both prophetically and naturally, as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember over there in John chapter 7 when Jesus talked about that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water? Water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And what we see here is that everything goes back to, because the children of Israel would understand the presence of God being in the temple. But I want you to see something. It didn't stay in the temple. And from the right hand of the Father, the water is flowing. Now, notice what happens here. It says, he continues on, and he says, he brought me out by the way north gate and led me around to the outside, the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. The water came up to my ankles. Now, I think that's significant because we've seen moves of God throughout church history. We see it in the beginning in Acts chapter 2. We talked about that when we talked about the series Upside Down. Do you remember when we talked about how these have come and turned the world upside down? It was the Holy Spirit empowering them to turn their world upside down. And our assignment was to go into our world with the power of the Holy Spirit and to see our world turned upside down. Then we learned in these last several weeks the power tools, the gifts that God gives us, the Holy Spirit gifts that are there distributed as He wills, but there to get the job done. Now, the Holy Spirit symbol of water, is flowing out from the altar, that place of the presence of God, and it's flowing out of the temple, so it's not contained in one place. It's not contained in one place. Now, we saw in the resurrection, in the crucifixion of Christ, we saw that the presence of God no longer was going to stay in the temple. Because remember, the temple veil was ripped from top to bottom. And they said it was that fabric was 6+ inches thick. Can you imagine fabric, ladies who work with fabric, or even some of you guys that have worked with fabric, and you realize how thick that must have been? That's thick fabric, heavy fabric. You know, I've worked with stage drapes. They can be about this thick, and they're heavy, and you can't tear one. A human being can't tear one, even when they're dry rot. And I've had to deal with some of those before. And so, you know, when the temple veil was ripped from top to bottom, the presence of God was not going to be contained in one place. So Ezekiel is pointing to the messianic promise. He's pointing to the future. He's saying there is a river flowing out from the presence of God. He is pointing to the day of Pentecost. That river. Now watch what happens. You're there in Ezekiel 47, and it says in verse 3, "And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, measured 1,000 cubits, he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles." Okay, so now the water's rising. "Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees." It's getting Hallelujah. It's getting deeper. Say, it's getting deeper. Well, praise God. "And then he measured, and he says, and it came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and it came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross. For the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?' Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and the other." Trees, symbolically, usually mean people. So when we're looking at that, he's basically saying, there's people on both sides of the river. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's people. And notice it says, "And when the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and the other." Verse 8. "Then he said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." What did Jesus say to Peter? "Peter, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." I hope you see this. I hope that you're making the connection here, that as we talk about revival, as we talk about the moves of God, that we see there are ebbs and flows of the move of God, but wherever the river goes, wherever it touches, there is life. There's life. And notice what he says there in verse 9, "And it shall be that every living thing that moves, whether the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. And it shall be that fishermen," that's you and me, do you see that? "Fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi and El-Galim, and they will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kind as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Verse 12, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees, used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food, will be for food, their leaves for medicine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to picture yourself in this move of God that Ezekiel is talking about. I don't believe that's a stretch. I don't believe that's disrespectful to the scripture at all. When he is talking about a great move of God that is going to change the face of the atmosphere, the face of the geography around them. Wherever water flows, it changes the landscape. When a river flows, like the river that I'm talking about, the river of God, the Holy Spirit, it changes the landscape. Now, you may be discouraged at times. Perhaps you're discouraged at, you feel like everything's salty, everything's dead. There's nothing. There's not a, it seems like, you know, people talk about the culture just, you know, turning their back on God. I have a theory, and I'm just going to tell you what I think about it, okay? I'm not going to give you a chapter and verse on this particular thing. I'm just going to tell you this is what Pastor feels about it. I feel like the enemy knows that his time's short. And I think he's desperate. I think he's desperate because I think that the water is starting to rise. And I think he sees it. Because I believe there really will be an end time harvest. There are those who feel like that as Christians it'll be us four and no more hanging on until the second coming, and just a few are going to get saved, and everybody else is set for damnation. I personally believe that God wants to bring as many into the kingdom as possible. And I believe that he is waiting. In fact, James chapter 5 tells us, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the what? The precious fruit of the earth. He is waiting for the latter rain and the spring rain combined, the precious fruit of the earth. I believe the reason why we have not seen God's judgment poured out on this planet is because he is being patient. And his goodness and kindness in Romans chapter 2 leads a man or a woman to repent. And I believe God is being good to the human race right now. He's being good. Aren't you glad that the gospel is good news? Aren't you glad that the river is rising? When we hear of these revivals, we hear of these outbreaks where people are longing, they're hungry for God. Pastor Christine and I were speaking with Pastor Adam Fredericks. They're hosting the Hagans toward the end of August. And we're talking about that's the Living Faith Conference that's going to be in Newtown, Connecticut. There are people calling his church asking if the church was going to be open 24 hours for prayer. There are people who are driving in with their RVs asking, is there a place we can hook up our RV? That hasn't happened in a long time. There is an expectation. I believe that the river is rising. And when we've experienced it in our little place right here, how God has just since Easter, the presence of God has come up. The anticipation of what God is doing has come up. The gifts of the Holy Spirit have been manifesting more. People are hearing from heaven clearer than they have in a long time. There is an anticipation of, God, what are you going to do next? That I haven't seen since I first got saved. And I've been talking to you about and referencing that I got saved toward the end of what is known as the charismatic renewal, when God was seemingly invading a bunch of denominational churches. Baptists, we're getting filled with the Spirit, starting to speak in tongues. Methodists, we're getting filled with the Spirit, starting to speak in tongues. And it was happening through the Full Gospel Businessmen Association, where that was one of the vehicles that God was using. He was using the charismatic renewal within the Catholic Church, where clergymen were getting filled with the Spirit. Even in this town, there is a retired Monsignor who met me in the coffee shop a couple of years ago and prayed in tongues with me right there in the coffee shop, right in downtown Mount Kisco. Born again, Catholic minister. I'm telling you, we are on the verge of seeing this river coming out of the throne of God from the right hand of the altar, coming out of the throne of God. This river is rising. We're a part of something that is bigger than what we see. I believe this end time harvest, we're seeing it more and more. For years, I've been saying this. You can ask Pastor Christine. I've been saying this for years, and it just came up in my heart. And some of you that are out there, you have family members that either knew God and walked away, or they're wandering in the desert right now. And I believe we are in a day that prodigals are returning.
Yes, they are.
Prodigals are returning. And we are going to have to embrace them, not berate them. We are going to have to embrace them and say, welcome home. I believe those that have been wandering, those have been wandering in the desert, they're going to see the river is rising, and they're going to want to come back to the water. They're going to want to come back to the water, because wherever the water is, what did we read? Life. There's life. There's deadness in following the enemy's plans. There's a dryness. There's an emptiness. There is a dead end. It ends in the salty marshes that don't get fresh. But when they step into the flowing water of the river of God. And when we talk about revival, you know, for years I used to pray, Lord, and I still sometimes catch myself using this phrase, Lord, send revival. And I recognized something very, very, very early on. It was Jesus, keep your finger here if you would. It was Jesus himself who said over there in John chapter 4, go over there, keep your finger here in Ezekiel 47, because we're not finished. And in John chapter 4, right after he ministers to the woman at the well, in John chapter 4, Jesus says something very, very, very significant in John chapter 4 when he tells us, let's see, here I go. He says, at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he had talked with the woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? But he said to them, they went out of the city, came to him. And in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat, which you do not know. Therefore, his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Verse 35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. Look at the fields, they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages, gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For this is the saying to be true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. I want you to see something. If Jesus said all the way in John chapter 4 that the harvest was ripe, then don't you think the harvest is still ripe? Don't you think that there is still a harvest of souls, of people to come into the kingdom of God? I believe that the water is rising and that there is still time for people to make that change. Still time for the prodigal to come home. Still time for that one that has stiffened his neck up against the plan and the purpose of God. And there is still time for God in his goodness, not his severity, but his goodness, his kindness, to draw them back to say, even the hired hands have it better than me in my Father's house. So the water is rising. The water is rising. Now go back there to Ezekiel. Go back there to Ezekiel. In verse 10 it says, "And it shall be that fishermen will stand by from Et-Gedi and El-Galam, and they will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be the same kinds as of the fish of the sea, great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They'll be given over to salt." Verse 12, "Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail." Say, "My fruit will not fail." Hallelujah. We know that in the book of Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 1, where it talks about you'll be like a tree planted by the river, right? Tree planted by the river. God is talking to mature believers and telling you right now that you will have fruitfulness in those seasons. We're not talking about just one season of fruit. I believe we're getting ready to get into a place of fruitfulness, a place of harvest. Because as the river rises and it goes from ankle level and then it goes to knee level, and then it goes to waist level. And then it goes beyond what anybody can stand. Why is that? Because God is always wanting to bring about the greatest harvest that I believe mankind has ever known. We're going to see it. Now, as I read through some of the stories of old, some of the stories of the early revivals, in preparation for this message, I was reading about the Welsh revival in 1903 in the country of Wales and in the UK. And we see that in the Welsh revival, that whole churches, didn't matter what label was on the outside of it, were filled to capacity. The bars closed down. I'm telling you, that's pretty significant. When you see that, people were trying to get into the windows of churches because they wanted the presence of God, and they were longing and hungry for God. What caused that hunger? I believe that the Spirit of God is drawing men and women, boys and girls, families, into a place of hunger. A hunger for Him, saying, "I want the real thing. I don't want the fake. I'm tired of following after this, that, and the other. This cause, that cause." We wonder why young people are gravitating to all these causes that seem like they're contrary to the things of God. It's because they're looking for purpose. And the only place you and I are ever going to find purpose is stepping into the river, is stepping into that place of being overwhelmed by His Spirit, letting Him fill you to overflowing. That's the hunger of God that comes on the inside. I believe that God is bringing that about again in our day, just as we saw in the Azusa Street revivals in California back at the turn of the century. So over there in Wales, just a couple of years different, we see it happening in California. This time, the revival broke down racial barriers. The revival broke down cultural barriers. In fact, if you read about the Azusa Street revival, it said the wealthy, the poor, those that were black, those that were white, were all coming into the presence of God. Notice that when we read in Ezekiel, that it talks about fish of every kind. Notice that when we read at the end of the book of Revelation, in fact, John actually quotes part of the book of Ezekiel in his vision. But John actually talks about in every kindred, tongue, and tribe will stand around the throne of God saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb." The river is rising for you and for me to step in. To step in. You've got to see yourself in that place. Now, when you see yourself in that place, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to step into maybe the unknown and be a little nervous. It can make you a little nervous. The first time that Pastor Christine and I ever saw somebody run in the Holy Ghost made us a little nervous. Just being honest. First time I ever walked into a Pentecostal prayer meeting, Dr. Wayne Lee was the pastor of Maranatha Temple in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. I had just received the left foot of fellowship among the Baptists. And they always talk about the right hand of fellowship among the Baptists. Well, I got the left foot of fellowship from my particular church. Praise God. It's all okay now. It's all good. I ended up going back to that church and preaching my grandmother's funeral there. It's all okay. It's all good. But one of the things that happened is I ended up at this place called Maranatha Temple. Now, Maranatha Temple was part of the Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee. It's a Pentecostal denomination that traces its roots back to a revival that happened in Cherokee, North Carolina in 1899. In 1899, they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit coming on the believers, and many of them spoke with other tongues. Again, this is right around the similar time frame as Azusa Street and the Welsh Revival. God was doing something in church history. He was bringing about this river was getting deeper and wider. This river was getting and flowing further and further. I believe we're at a place right now, that we're at a place right now where that water is at least waist deep, if not above our waist. I don't know. I'm not God. But I believe that this is prophetic for the end times. What I do know is this, that as you study a little bit about how this revival came about in Asbury Seminary, or Asbury Chapel, And I watched the sermon. I listened to it. The man who spoke, he didn't come with fancy words. He came with a humble heart. He didn't come with a super polished sermon. He came with a heart. He came with a heart. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 6:33 when he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you"? A hunger, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, what? They will be filled. There is a hunger that's going out in the land. There is a thirst for the real. They're tired of religion that delivers nothing. There is something that is happening in the heart of the people right now, and I believe it's because that river is rising, and the enemy, he's doing everything he can to keep people away from it. We've seen church attendance in the last 10 to 15 years actually plummet in the United States. With the advent of technology, it seems like there is just so many more things to do on a Sunday than come to church. You know, when I was a kid, everything shut down. The mall didn't even open until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, the mall opened, but it didn't open until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You couldn't go to a ball field on Sunday morning. It just didn't happen. And as technology and everybody has gotten busier and busier and busier and busier, we see people getting less sleep. We're seeing people work harder. We're seeing people work 2-3 jobs just to make ends meet. And people are, who's getting crowded out? The family of God and the connections. When we make these connections, we're stronger, right? When we make these connections, we're stronger. Thank God that we're now just turning that around on the enemy. We're using technology. Some of you are connecting with us online. Praise God. There are ways to connect, right? But it's amazing how that fellowship has fractured some of the body of Christ. But I believe that we're coming into a day of restoration. Amen. When this river rises, people are going to be calling our church, saying, excuse me, is the church going to be open? Is the church going to be open? Is it going to be open early? Are you, Pastor, are you going to start that that fresh oil? What do you call that prayer time fresh oil? You're going to start it a little bit earlier? Pastor, when are you going to add that second service? Because I couldn't find a seat for my family. And when we start thinking that way, seeing that happen, I believe we are in that place. How do you pray for that, Pastor? Well, if you want to just jump in a little bit, you know. You ever been at a pool party? Years ago, there was a gentleman in our church, part of our leadership team. He actually he preached a sermon, and it kind of always stuck to me. And it was like, jump on in, because you know the water's fine. You know, just dive in, jump in. Jump in. And so when we're talking about these things, you know, and I, as I told you, the first time I got into a what might be called a more of a wildfire Pentecostal charismatic meeting made me a little nervous, right? I didn't know what to do, right? But I just began to close my eyes saying, God, what's here for me? There's something here for me. You've got to, there's something here for me. Teach me, show me something about yourself. When we were students at Rhema, I know Pastor Christine, God showed her and said that when there was a prayer line, when there were people being prayed for and the Holy Spirit was moving, the Lord spoke to her and told her to open her eyes and to watch what was happening. Am I right? And you're not a peeker. I've always been a peeker. Okay. Full disclosure. Okay. So God had to, you know, Pastor Christine follows the rule. Okay. Just know that if you're playing a game with her, she's going to play by the rules. She'll win, but she's going to play by the rules, right? So she's going to keep her eyes shut. But what did the Holy Ghost tell her? Open her eyes and watch. Mm-hmm. Open her eyes and watch and learn. Mm-hmm. Learn the ways of the Spirit. Learn the ways of the Spirit. So if you're going to step in, and let's say the water is waist deep right now. Let's say it is a little bit overwhelming to you. Ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord to show you. Because put yourself in that river. Put yourself in that space. Come on in. The water's just fine. There's a place that God's going to speak to you. He's going to show you things. He's going to show that you have a part to play in this. If we are fishermen, right? If we're fishermen, then there are fish to go catch. There are nets to go throw. There are nets to go throw out into the deep. Put your net on the other side, Peter. Didn't make any sense. God's going to give us strategies, and we're praying about September 9th. Why? September 9th, we're in this community. We got our ukuleles, we got our puppets, we got some things that we've done in the past. But what does God have for us in the future? What does He have for us the immediate future? See, I believe that God's going to give some of you divine strategies that you can submit to us and say, you know, I got an idea, Pastor. I think we could do this. And we're going to see more and more results based on our impact into this community. And I believe that the Lord is on some of the things that we're preparing. If you're part of the ukulele band, we're preparing some songs. We're preparing to be used by God. We're preparing to be used by God in our community. I see us praying for people right out in the open, right there. I see God doing things. The river's rising. But we have to step into that place. That takes a little courage. So say, take courage. See, I don't believe God's going to lead you into something that's wrong. I really don't. You stay with the Word. Anytime the Holy Ghost gives you something, stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. But if He leads you and He nudges you on something, and He gets you to step out a little bit, step out a little bit, step out a little bit. You know, Reverend Ennis, he mentioned during prayer time that the Lord showed him David and Goliath when it came to our building. And he said, you know, all it took was one stone. All it took was one stone. But it took David courage to actually run at his giant. It might take courage for you to step into the water. because it's an unknown place for you. It's an unknown place to operate in the power tools, the gifts of the Spirit, as we've been talking about. It's an unknown place for you to speak up. That's why fresh oil is such a great thing to be a part of. Because if God gives you something, it's just us. We're family.
That's right. No.
And, you know, just speak it out. That's what we've been doing. And some amazing things have come out for this church because we're speaking it out. We're praying it out. We're praying in the Holy Spirit. We're praying the mysteries out. The river is rising. It's getting to the point where I believe we're going to come to that place, church. We're going to come to that place where this place will be full. Full, and this is how we've been praying. God, fill this place full of the glory of God. Fill each chair with the glory of God, with new friends, new faces, new families, right? People that need a church home so that they can experience the love and the life of God. Because listen, everything that the river touches lives. Cancer can't stay in the river. Arthritis can't stay in the river. And F.F. Bosworth, great healing teacher and Assembly of God minister, said years ago, he said, healing is the dinner bell of the gospel. When people are healed, when their marriages are put back together, when the lost are saved, and when the prodigal comes back home, people talk about that. People start to chatter about that. And let me tell you something, there's going to be a point where if you don't get here on time or early for prayer, you won't find a seat. There might be an overflow room. Hallelujah. We're talking to Pastor Adam, and we said, what happens when you fill your building up when Pastor Hagen comes? He said, I don't know. I mean, his answer was, I don't know yet what we're going to do if it fills up to that place. So praise God, us too. What will we do? Well, we might be like Peter, James, and John. We might have to call some of our partner churches, some of our sister churches, say, come over here and help us. Because the harvest is great. It's plenteous. Hallelujah. The river is rising. Amen. Praise God. And you have a part in that. You do. You're right in the middle of that. It's your story. It's your story. It's who you speak to. It's who the Holy Spirit leads you to throw a net out for, an invitation, a prayer. Hey, can I pray for you? Oh, some might tell you no. I recently went up to a young man who's dealing with some health issues at my work, and I said, can I pray for you? And he got kind of nervous, and he said no. Yeah. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for you anyway, but I'm going to do it. You know, don't worry. I still got you. I just looked at him. I said, I didn't get offended. I just looked at him. I go, it's all right. I can understand if that makes you a little nervous. I'm going to still pray for you. He goes, okay. So that, you know, what is it that God leads you to do in this river? First of all, you got to step out into it. Embrace it. That the flow of the Holy Ghost is coming in your path. And you can either stay on the side of the riverbank and watch everything else happen, or you can jump in. Come on in. The water's fine. Jump on in. The water's fine. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today to us, to encourage us, to bring hope and to bring help and to bring healing. Father, I thank you that there are those today that may not know you. They're watching online or perhaps they're listening. Maybe they've been away from you. God, I thank you that you are ministering to their heart, drawing them back to yourself. Lord, your love and your goodness is drawing them back. Father, I thank you that your refreshing power of the Holy Spirit is drawing them. And now, Father, I pray, God, that you'd minister to your people. Lord, those that know you, that walk according to your plan, Lord, that you would give them vision and help to know, Father, how to step into that water, how to listen for your voice clearer, how to obey that still small voice and watch amazing things happen in their life, their family, their home, their work. Father, I pray, God, that you would minister that grace to them in the name of Jesus. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to receive him. The Bible tells us that For all who received him gave them the power to become sons and daughters of the Most High God. If that's you, and you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he was raised from the dead for you, and you're willing to receive his forgiveness in your life by faith, I want you to raise up your hand in this place. I want you, if you're watching online, just to pray a simple prayer with us that we're all going to pray right here. Mean it in your heart. I believe God will meet you right where you are. Let's all pray together. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I come to you,
I come to you,
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I believe in my heart,
I believe in my heart,
that the Lord Jesus,
the Lord Jesus,
he came,
came,
he died for my sins,
died for my sins.
He was risen from the dead,
risen from the dead,
for me.
And I receive his forgiveness
by faith in the name of Jesus. And I call Jesus my Lord and my Savior from this day forth in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe that was an act of rededication for you, I want you to message us through Facebook Live, through the Facebook app, and just let us know. I'd like to send you something. Help you in your walk with God, perhaps help you find a church if you're far away from us. If you're not far away from us, we're right here, 27 Radio Circle, Mount Kisco, New York. And you can come and join us in person or right here on Facebook Live online. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand our feet right now. If you need prayer for anything, I'm going to be hanging out up here in the front. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. With the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you want that Bible experience in your life. If you want special prayer, I'm going to be available to you after the service just for a brief time. And then our ukulele rehearsal is going to come about. And we're going to have some fellowship time with the ukulele band practice. But if you need prayer for anything, we're going to be right here in just a moment. Let's say our sending out verse together right now out of Psalm 121. It says, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. You're dismissed.